Hey y'all, welcome to the Lead Her Ship podcast. I'm Brittany Howard, a mama of six and top leader of a multi-million dollar team, and I love to talk about leadership topics that maximize our impact in our homes, relationships, and in the marketplace as we endeavor to juggle all of our responsibilities well. This podcast is for Christian mamas who either are leaders in network marketing or who aspire to be. I have coached a lot of people to the six-figure level and beyond, and I'm going to share with you here what I share with my team that has helped us build this business with a long-term focus in mind and have very meaningful relationships throughout the journey. We're going to dive into the emotions and thoughts that come with building a business. We're going to deal with relationship dynamics that come with leading a team, especially when your team happens to be your actual friends. We're going to discuss ways to help your team catch the bigger vision with you and how to coach them to success. And we're going to do it all through a biblical lens. Hey, y'all. So I feel like we can't really have a discussion about habits without also having a discussion about rhythms and routines. So today, that's what I want to discuss with you, is establishing the rhythms and routines in your days, weeks, months, quarters, and years that will support the habits that you want to implement and be consistent with. So today, I want to give you five steps to establish your rhythms and routines for your business, absolutely, but also for every other important area of your life. Because our businesses are definitely a hugely important aspect of our lives, yes, but they're not the only important aspect in our lives. And so we want to keep priorities in order. We want to succeed in multiple areas of our lives, not just our business, right? What good does it do to be successful in our businesses if our health is a wreck because we're not taking care of ourselves, exercising, prioritizing nutrition, taking our supplements? And what good would it do to be very successful in your business if your relationship with your spouse is not where it should be, or you don't have great relationships with your kids? As mamas with businesses, we are juggling a lot of things. We wear a lot of hats. But with discipline and intentionality, it is possible to do well in more than one area of your life. Okay, so step one, you have to determine the most important goal. It starts with clarity. And this is true for every area of your life. It's true for your business, for your marriage, your parenting, your spiritual life, your fitness, your personal finances, and all of your other friendships or relationships that are not in your immediate family. So here is your first action item. I want you to write down your most important goal for each of these seven areas. And here is the question you need to answer for all seven areas. What is the one goal that, as long as I hit that goal, I'll be okay if I don't hit all the other lesser goals? What's the most important goal for each area of your life? Business, marriage, parenting, spiritual, fitness, finance, and friendships/other relationships. Oftentimes, your most important goal right now looks like a short-term goal that you know leads to the long-term goal. So, some examples for your business, it could be get 6 new customers this month. It could be bring in 2 new business builders and help them hit that first rank. It could be expanding your network and getting new eyeballs on your social media content so that you have new people to add to your list. It could be to hit a new rank by a certain time or re-rank by a certain time, or it could be to earn a certain amount of income by a certain time or increase the amount of your monthly paycheck by a certain amount. You are the one who has to decide what the most important goal is to you. Because when you have this clarity, that will help you stay focused and say no to distractions. When you're thinking about your marriage, you could think about how you want your marriage to look 20 years from now. And what could you do right now that would cultivate that type of relationship years down the road? Is it read a communication skills book together? Is it establish monthly date nights? Is it increase the amount of quality time that you have together? I just finished reading an excellent book about habits called The Compound Effect with my team. And one idea that I got from that book, which I thought was a great idea, he said that every week he asks his wife to rate her experience in their marriage on a scale of 1 to 10 for the previous week. And based off whatever her answer is, he will say, what would need to happen in order for your experience to be a 10? So I have started asking my husband that question every week. And the first time I asked, it was very awkward because he laughed and he was like, I feel like you are giving me a customer service survey. And I said, well, I might very well be. Because I do indeed want to make sure that you are satisfied. So anyway, if you are struggling to set a goal for your marriage, I think that's a good question to go and ask your spouse. And then go do the same thing with your kids and all the other areas of your life, okay? So I think you guys get the picture that you need clarity on exactly what you're working towards. You have to determine what your habits are going to be based off clarity of where you want to go. So essentially, you have to begin with the end in mind. Also, I do want to clarify one thing. I want you to keep in mind that not all of these goals are going to be equal priority. Although I do think you need to be clear on what the most important goal is for each area of your life, I think you also need to understand that there are different seasons of life where some of these areas in your life have to take more of a priority over the other areas of your life. So, for example, if you just had surgery or you had a baby, then you're probably not realistically setting fitness goals at the moment. Or if your business is in full momentum or you're trying to create full momentum, that may require more of your focus than, say, your friendships or your personal finances. The point is, you have to determine what the biggest priorities are and how much time is going to each, but it still starts with clarity. Okay, so step one is determine the most important goal in all areas of your life. Step two is make a list of everything that needs to be done that will drive the needle forward towards that goal. Okay, so I'm going to give you mostly business examples going forward for the sake of time, but just know that it's really important that you apply all of these steps to each area of your life. Okay, so for step two, when it comes to making a list of everything that needs to be done in your business that will drive the needle toward your goal, just know that this is going to take some time. You are going to have to carve out some space and probably each day for maybe like up to a week and just brain dump every single thing that comes up that you feel like needs to get done in your business. And I mean everything. And you won't be able to complete this list all in one sitting because you will brain dump the list, but then as you're working your business and like going through your day, you're going to realize that other things pop up that you didn't think about or that you forgot about. And they need to go on the list. That's very important. So you could sit down one morning and brain dump this list, or you could at the end of the day just kind of make a list of everything that you did for your business that day. And if you do this every day for about a week, then you should have a pretty good general list of all of the things that need to get done in your business in a week. And to be completely honest with you, in my company, this list, in order for it to be like fully complete, it would actually probably take more like a month, just because there's different things that you do more of in certain parts of the month that you don't do in other parts of the month. Or there are certain things you do in your business that are only once a month that you might not think about. And one other thing you could do if you want to jog your memory is scroll back through your feed on social media, and also scroll back through the photos on your phone to jog your memory of anything that maybe you forgot about. But brain dump everything. And if you need some examples, I'll give you some of mine. So create content for your social media feed, income producing activity, customer care, learning, personal development, business development, responding to messages, responding to emails, all of the team calls that you have, any group coaching calls that you have, any one-on-one coaching calls that you have with your downline or with your upline or coach. If you have a book study going with your team, don't forget to write down on your list to read the book. And also, don't forget about any events that you are going to host or attend and the tasks that you would have to do for those. You are also going to need time for reflection and review so that you can evaluate what's working and what's not. And you will need some time for strategic thinking. So that would be things like content planning, if you do that. For my team, I get on a strategic thinking or brainstorming Zoom with my Jules once a month, and we plan out all the things together. And also for me, strategic thinking includes things like time blocking and setting up my availability for the coming week or the coming month for my team. Okay, so those are just some examples for your business. Make your list, check it twice, kidding. Once you have your list of all the things that need to be done for your business in order to reach your goal, then I want you to do the same thing for your family goals, your fitness goals, and other areas of your life as well. Okay, step three. Next, you need to determine how frequently each thing needs to be done. So does it need to be done daily, weekly, biweekly, monthly, quarterly, annually? Ask yourself for each one of these things, what would consistency look like for that particular activity? You will notice that for some of the things on the list, consistency would look like it's something you do every single day. But for other things, it's something that you do every month or every quarter. So for example, when it comes to creating social media content, consistency would probably look closer to daily than weekly, right? But hosting events, that probably is closer to monthly versus daily. And here's an example of how I apply this to my spiritual life. Daily, I'm going to read my Bible and pray. Weekly, I'm going to go to church and take my family. And maybe quarterly, I want to read a book that helps me grow in my Christian walk that is in addition to my daily Bible reading. Okay, so once you have determined how frequently each thing needs to be done, whether it's daily, biweekly, weekly, monthly, quarterly, or even annually, then the next step, step four, is brain dump a possible flow. So on a new page, I want you to write the days of the week across the top of the page. And then under each day of the week, go ahead and write out all of your daily tasks. not just for your business, but for the other areas of your life too. So for example, my daily list looks like read my Bible and pray, hygiene, that's important, read Bible with my kids, which I only do for 10 minutes a day right before we walk out the door for school, take my kids to school, work out, create my social media content on my feed and in my stories, do my income-producing activity, do my customer care, which for me, I kind of have to alternate because of my capacity. One day I may do customer care for product users, and then another day I may focus on customer care for my new business builders who are not gold yet. Another daily thing I have is learning, because I do either read a book or watch a video or listen to a podcast or something. I'm learning something every single day, and so I'm putting in time for that. And then also responding to messages is something that I do every day. So you can see how my daily activities are not only business things. I'm incorporating every area of my life, writing down all of the things that I want to make sure that I do every day. Another thing that I do every day that I didn't include on that list, or that I don't even really write down because it's so habitual at this point, is I have dinner with my family around the table. Whether we're eating out or at home, I'm having dinner with my family and we are eyeball to eyeball, no devices allowed. That's really important to my family. It is a non-negotiable. Okay, once you have written out your daily tasks for each day of the week, then determine what day of the week you want to do each of your weekly tasks. So for me, my weekly tasks are things like team-wide calls, which are on Zoom. When I say calls, I mean Zoom. But team calls, book studies, dual coaching calls, one-on-one coaching calls, three-way calls, my content planning, working on any projects that I have going on, like building a new system. I want to work on that once a week. Meal planning, that's definitely a weekly task for me. Tracking my business expenses, that is a weekly task. Or at least it needs to be. So all of these weekly tasks, I'm going to assign them a day of the week. So for example, our team-wide calls, they're on Monday nights. Our book studies are on Thursday nights. Our Jewel coaching is on Mondays at noon. My one-on-one coaching calls, those might be two afternoons out of the week where I schedule a few back-to-back, like I block off several afternoons, but I can't do that every week. I can do those 2 weeks out of the month because I don't do them the first week of the month generally, because there's other things that I have to do like recognition and just kind of get the month up and running. So I don't do a lot of coaching calls one-on-one the first week or the last week of the month, unless there's something that, you know, really needs to be, that I need to give my attention to. But currently, I just try to keep my one-on-one coaching calls the middle 2 weeks of the month. And then I will pick 2 days out of each of those weeks in the afternoon to block off several hours to do one-on-one coaching calls as needed. So most of the time, the way I structure my day is that I try to get most of my daily activities done in the morning hours. And then the weekly, biweekly, monthly things I do in the afternoons or in the evenings. So generally, every Monday through Friday, I get up, read my Bible and pray, take care of my hygiene, read the Bible with my kids before we go to school, take them to school, work out, create my social media content for my feed and my stories, get my IPA done, income producing activity, and any customer care that needs to be done. I try to do all of that in the morning hours before I do anything else. As far as when I take time to learn, sometimes I get up extra early to do that before my kids get up. So I'll read my Bible and pray, and then I'll have extra time before it's time to wake my kids up to get some learning in. But most of the time I don't. Most of the time the learning is either in the afternoon or in the evening. Sometimes it's when I'm in my car, because that's what I can do. And for my messages, I try not to get too steeped into those until after at least I've dropped my kids off at school in the morning. But generally, I will try to stay out of my messages until after I've created all of my content. So I'll read my Bible, take my kids to school, get my workout in, get my content up, do my IPA. So I'll do messages there, and then customer care. But ideally, and I don't always stick to this because I would love to tell you that I am this disciplined, but the fact of the matter is that I'm not. But I ideally would like to delay all of the other messages until after I get all of those other priorities taken care of, because the content creation, the income producing activity, the customer care, those things just require a lot of focus and concentration and even creativity for me. And once I open my messages, it's really a lot of decision making. It's messages from my team who want my perspective on something or need my attention on something or have a question or whatever. And so it's just like a different, I don't know, maybe a different part of my brain that has to operate. But it seems like once I get in that box, it's real hard for me to get out of that box and go back into creative mode. So that's kind of how I have to structure how I prioritize and in what order I'm going to get these things done that need to get done. The weekly and biweekly things I generally do in the afternoon or the evenings. So like our team calls are in the evenings, and coaching calls, I do those in the afternoon. And every once in a while, I will do one in the evening. Fridays, once I get all of my daily activities done, then I use Fridays to work on my business versus in my business. So I don't schedule coaching calls on Fridays. That's my time that I set aside for my reflection and review and my strategic thinking. Now, I still do all my normal, read my Bible, take my kids to school, get my workout in, create my content, do my income producing activity or any customer care that needs to be done. But then the rest of that day, in terms of my business, I generally will use it to track my business expenses, plan out my content, do my time blocking, do my meal planning, and things like that. Okay, so on your sheet of paper that has the days of the week listed across the top of it, you should have lists for each day that have all your daily things, and then you add in which day of the week you're going to do which weekly and monthly things. And here's a tip for your monthly tasks. Let's just say you have 4 monthly tasks that you need to do each month. You could use the first Monday to do one of those monthly tasks, and the second Monday to do the second one, and the third Monday to do the third one, and the fourth Monday to do the fourth one. Or it doesn't really matter, whatever day of the week works for you, but you could, or it could be Friday for you if most of your monthly things are strategic thinking and planning type of things. Then, I mean, I put most of those on Friday, but I don't do all of those things every Friday. It's just that I assign a monthly task to each Friday of the month. Hopefully that makes sense. So for example, let's just say I have 4 monthly tasks. Recognition, so any recognition that needs to be done for my team. I got to make the graphics, create the posts, do their shout outs, etc. That is a monthly task for me. The second monthly task would be planning out my marketing calendar and social media content for the month. The third monthly task would be time blocking, because I am trying to make that a monthly thing versus a weekly thing at this point, just so that I can be more professional and set my availability ahead of time versus just doing it the Friday before. I think it's just more helpful to my team for me to do it a month at a time versus a week at a time. So time blocking, I'm trying to just time block a month at a time versus a week at a time. But that is a monthly, I'm trying to make that a monthly thing. And then the fourth one would be reflection and review. If these are my four monthly tasks, then the first Friday of the month, I'll carve out some time to do all the recognition. The second Friday of the month, I will carve out some time to do my content planning. The third Friday, I will carve out time to do my time blocking for the month ahead. And then the fourth Friday of the month, I will use to do my reflection and review. And y'all, these are just examples, just to get your wheels turning and help you think through your business and your life. But please do what works for you. I think you can take these five steps and apply it, and yours might look completely differently than mine does, because you're probably in a different season of life, or your family dynamic is different, or your team dynamic is different. There's no right or wrong way to apply this. The important thing is just that you think these things through and that you are intentional with where your time is going, where your attention and focus is going, and where your energy is going. Are they going to the right things? Okay. That's what I want you guys to take away from this. I don't want anybody listening to this thinking they have to make their life look like my life, or the way I have my days and weeks and monthly things structured. It might look different than the way yours needs to be. Okay, so once you have this completed, where you have the days of the week going across the top of your paper, and you have your daily things listed out, and then you've assigned your weekly tasks a day and your monthly tasks a time to get done, then step five is pull out your time blocker. Now, just in case you are new to the podcast and you are not familiar with time blocking, a time blocker is basically just a spreadsheet that has a grid with days of the week going horizontally across the top, and then vertically, the column would be times of the day. And then you give every hour of your week a name. Essentially, time blocking is like a budget for your time. And if you need a time blocker, I will link mine in the show notes of this podcast episode, or you can simply make one. They're very simple to make. Okay, so step five is pull out your weekly time blocker and go ahead and block your week out. Maybe even block the next 4 weeks out, but start by filling in any appointments and standing commitments that you know you have, and then go ahead and fill in when you are going to do all of your daily tasks. You have to create space for all of your priorities. So for me, whenever I pull out my time blocker to fill it out, I know I can go ahead and fill in the things that I know are going to be consistent and they're not really going to change. So I'm going to get up, I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to practice my hygiene, and then read the Bible with my kids, and then take my kids to school, and then work out, and then come home and create my content. Then I'm going to get my IPA done and my customer care, and that is pretty much my morning. Then you're going to fill in your weekly tasks. And again, for me, those things go either in the afternoons or evenings if they're like Zooms, or if it's strategic thinking and planning or reflection and review type things, then I will put those on Fridays. And then you need to fill in any bi-weekly tasks. If you have bi-weekly tasks, then I highly suggest that you time block more than 1 week at a time. But for me, my bi-weekly things would be certain coaching calls, advisory board, recording my podcast, my own coaching calls with my mentor, connecting with my college-aged son, and also my oldest son who's married and his wife, my daughter-in-law. My two oldest sons, they're grown and gone, and they don't live here. So I have to be intentional about making sure that I connect with them. Sometimes I connect with them more frequently than that, but I at least want to hit that minimum. I want to make sure that I stay very much connected to my adult children. And then Once you got your daily, weekly, bi-weekly tasks in there, then you can put your monthly tasks in there. And generally, you might find that you do a monthly task once a week. Like I said earlier, if you have 4 monthly tasks, then you might do 1 monthly task once a week, or you might pick 1 day a month to knock out all your monthly tasks at once. If that works for you, that is totally up to you. You have to do what works for you. And then finally, you're going to want to decide when you do your quarterly tasks. So that would definitely be something like strategic planning and reflection and review. I highly recommend you do those things quarterly. A book that might be helpful in that regard is called 12 Week Year, and I will link that in the show notes for you, but that's excellent. My team did that as a book study one time. It was really, really good. And another book that I want to recommend that would be a great resource for you if you are thinking a lot about time management and where your time goes and your priorities and doing all of these things prayerfully and intentionally based off the season that you were in, I highly recommend a book called Shopping for Time. I will also link it in the show notes, but that book was so eye-opening for me on so many levels, and it's super, super short. But she talks about in that book, from a Christian perspective, how Jesus frequently took time away alone so that he could get clarity from his Heavenly Father on, you know, what he needed to be doing. And so she talked about how quarterly she does that. I think she said quarterly, maybe she said annually, but maybe I can't remember. But anyways, I did do that one time. I went and checked myself into an Airbnb or a hotel room on the beach, because I live near a beach, and just overnight. But I, for that 24-hour, well, it wasn't quite 24 hours because I checked in at 4 p.m. and had to check out at 11 a.m. But for that time period, I was completely alone, and I was able to do a lot of reflection and reviewing of, am I living in alignment with what I'm saying my priorities are? How am I doing? Just kind of rate my performance in all of the areas and just like think about what is it that I'm saying I want, and are my actions aligning with that? And are my habits supporting what I say that I want? And praying, I spent a lot of time praying. I spent a lot of time reading, and I spent a lot of time making a new plan. So I need to do that again very soon. I haven't done it lately because I've just had so many business trips, but I definitely feel the need to do that like at least once a quarter for me, where I'm at in this season of my life and in my business with all of the responsibilities that I have. I would love to do that once a quarter. It probably won't work in this season of my life, but I'm going to make it work at least one time this year, maybe twice. Okay, so now that you know your 5 steps, I want to address a couple of other things before I let you go. First of all, it is very important that every leader have their own rhythms and routines and processes in place without comparing themselves to what everyone else is doing. While the habits might be the same, the rhythms and routines are probably going to look very different because every family dynamic is different, every team dynamic is different, and every leader has different goals that they're working on in different seasons of their life and their business. And so if you are basing your rhythms and routines off what you think they should look like because you see that's what other successful people are doing, then you are probably going to be very stressed out a lot of the time and just overwhelm yourself. I think you need to understand that you have the freedom and the responsibility to take ownership, complete ownership of your rhythms and routines and your processes. And I just gave you a 5-step process that will guide you in setting up your own rhythms and routines for your business and your life. But I just want to warn you not to fall into the comparison mode, okay? Because it's so easy to do. And I want to give you an example. So my team does book studies, and we just finished reading The Compound Effect. And during this book study, we were talking about our morning routines. And so me and my power partner, Christina, we were discussing how our morning routines look like. We get up, we read our Bible, have our quiet time. We get our kids ready for school. We get our workout in, and then we create our content, or, you know, get to work. And our lifestyles are very similar. Well, we have another leader on our call, and her name is Katie, and she is amazing. She is really amazing. She is, I mean, full momentum in her business. I mean, so many accomplishments. She just got a lot of good things happening on her team and in her business. Well, she was talking about her morning routine. And she said, for the past 18 months of my life, this is what I have done pretty much every single day. The first hour and a half of my day, I get up and she's got it down to a science. She knows exactly what she's going to do and how long it's going to take her to get in her back office and go through any credit card declines or the perks reports or any of the retention work. She gets all that done. She messages her team and notifies them of anything that they, you know, needs to have their attention. She gets her content up. She gets her IPA done. She gets her customer care and retention work done. And the first hour and a half of her day are just it's so productive. And I'm listening to her talk and I'm just like, she's saying for the past 18 months, like at this point, it's down to a science. Everybody in my house knows, don't talk to me for an hour and a half because these are things I got to get done, and she's doing them. And then she has like the rest of her morning or day kind of open. Like she said, she'll come back later in the day and, you know, check in with her messages or do coaching with her team or do the Zooms or whatever we have as going on as a team. But basically, she gets her priorities in her business done first thing as soon as she wakes up. And then just like, it's kind of like not on her mind. It's not taking up brain space. And so I was like, oh, I really love that. I was so tempted to change my routine because I'm thinking, maybe I need to do that. That sounds so productive. If I were to do it that way, then that feels like it wouldn't be hanging over my head. Like it would take some pressure off of me mentally because I would have peace knowing, oh, I got the most important priorities in my business taken care of, and now I can go do XYZ without it taking up my brain space because I've checked the box, you know, versus just like thinking about it, you know, for several hours of the morning until I get it done. And then I got to talking to her about it and realized that she was having the same thought. She was having the same thought listening to me and Christina talk about our morning routine, and she's sitting there thinking, oh, I must not be doing it right. Maybe I need to be doing what they're doing, even though she is doing it right. She's totally doing it right. It's working for her. It works for her family. It works for their schedule. It's definitely working for her business. And we're both sitting there listening to each other talk about our routines while both comparing to each other, you know? And so I'm not going to change my routine because I've realized this is what works for me and my family and my goals. And I also know myself that once I get in that box, I probably won't be able to turn it off. And that's why I read my Bible first. But Katie is different. She's not that way. She does her Bible a different time of the day. And she's doing what works for her family and her business. And neither one of us need to be comparing to the other because both of us are strong, successful leaders who are also, you know, moms and wives and care deeply about our families and care deeply about our teams. And we're both very successful and we're both doing what works. And so I just want to encourage you, don't compare. Don't fall into that trap. Just take ownership of your goals, your rhythms and routines for all areas of your life and implement the best processes, rhythms, routines, systems that are going to work for you, your business, and your family. Okay, and then the other thing that I want to give you a heads up on, when you go through this process and you brain dump all this and you got your time blocker and all that, and you're trying to give every activity a space on your time block, here's what you're going to quickly realize. There ain't enough space. There's more things to do than you have time for. Okay. And so this is where you are forced to prioritize, because your list of to-dos will always, always, always be longer than the time you have to do them. And so you have to decide. That's why at the beginning of this episode, I'm like, pick one thing that you're going to focus on in all these areas of your life, prioritize them, because you won't be able to give equal attention to all of it. You're going to have to prioritize. You may have to delegate some things so that you can free up capacity for yourself, or so that you do have the capacity to focus on the priorities God's called you to in this season. You may have to flat out let go of some things in this season, and that's okay. It's normal. You're going to have to prioritize, and the more your business grows and the more your responsibilities expand, the more important this skill of prioritization will become, because you are not superhuman. You have limits. We all do. And so you cannot do it all. You have to do the most important things and have peace about it. And guys, this is why this podcast is now bi-weekly. This is a prime example of this very thing I'm talking about, because once I time blocked my whole month out, I realized, wow, I have all of these goals and not enough time to do all the things that I need to do to make it happen. And so what can I cut out? And so I started prioritizing, and I love doing this podcast, love it. But it's not the most income producing thing for me in this season. It's a way to support my team. It's a way to invest in people and share my experience and my knowledge that I have accumulated throughout my years of building this business. But it is not the most income producing activity for me. And so I had to drop it back to, instead of a weekly task, I made it a bi-weekly task, because it does take a lot of time to produce it. And I had some feelings about it, a lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings. And I did not want to do that. But yes, I did. I did it because that was what was necessary. I also want you guys to know that I often feel overwhelmed. I often have that feeling. And when I do, it's because I am trying to do too much. I have too much on my plate and I'm not delegating enough, or I'm saying yes to too many things, or honestly, it's because I haven't been in prayer over the things that I need to be doing. Because we do have enough time in the day to do everything that God has called us to do. And when we get overwhelmed, it's because we are saying yes to some things that God has not called us to do. It's we're saying yes to some things that would be nice to haves, or things that maybe we want to do, but it's just not the right timing for those things, or whatever. So when I feel myself getting overwhelmed, at this point, I've learned, okay, I need to be in prayer. I need to take all of this to the Lord and just give it all to Him, and remind myself that it's His power and not mine anyway. So prayer about all of these things definitely recenters me and helps me recalibrate my thoughts and brings me my peace back. Because there are a lot of things that I want to do well. I don't just want to do well in my business, although that is very important to me. I do want to do really well in my business, but I also want to knock it out of the park when it comes to parenting my children and being a wife to my husband and also taking care of my health and prioritizing my workouts and my nutrition and my other relationships that are important to me. So when you want to be excellent across multiple areas, it requires intentionality, forethought, and planning, and also prayer. Okay, and then last thing for today that I want you guys to know is that I don't do everything, okay? So this is going back to my little soapbox about comparison, because it is so easy to look to the left or the right and think that somebody has it all together, or they're doing way more than you, or beat yourself up and think, why can't I get it together, or why can't I blah, blah, blah. I don't do everything. Like I said, I have to figure out what I can delegate or let go of. So I'm just going to tell you some things that I don't do a lot of, because over the years I've learned to delegate these things. First of all, I don't make graphics. I can make them. It takes me a lot of time, and somebody else can do that better than I can in less time. And so it just makes sense to pay someone to make all my graphics. Another thing I don't do is manage my calendar. These days, I do my time blocking, but as far as like all of the kids' school events and games and church events, any events that we need to attend, or birthday parties, like whatever the case may be, anything that would come through our emails, my husband stays on top of all of the school emails, church emails, all of those things, and he puts everything on the calendar. And he happens to be an Enneagram type 1, and he does an excellent job at it, because every single event that is, if it's a basketball game, it's going to have the location with the address, where all I have to do is like pull it up on my calendar on my phone and the address is right there. I just tap on it and I can just go. I don't have to dig for anything. Like, my husband manages all of that, and it's not something that I have to think about. And so he reads the school emails, and he, you know, if the kids have projects, he is aware of that, the deadlines, and, you know, I will definitely pitch in and help on those things, but he is most aware of stuff like that. I also don't think I check my emails that much. I do check my business email, but my other email accounts, I'm pretty sure I have like 20,000 unread emails at this point. And so I'm terrible at checking emails. So I definitely, that's something that I don't keep up with. Another thing that I don't do much of is housework. So just like I'm sharing with you guys about time blocking and setting up rhythms and routines and processes and systems, I have done that for my home with our chore system. So my kids know exactly what their responsibilities are. My kids do most of the housework. Again, I do pitch in, but most of the housework, either my kids do it or my cleaning ladies do it. I hire somebody to clean my house. I also don't cook many of our meals. So I have strengths of strategic thinking and planning. And so I will meal plan till the cows come home. I can come up with the whole plan, order all the groceries, have them delivered. And then my husband has strengths of execution, which works out for us, because he, over the last several years, he has learned to cook. Like, I can give him a recipe and he can execute it well. And at this point, he has become a great cook. Now, that was off to a rocky start, but he's, with practice, he has become very good at it. And it works for our family. And that's a new thing, just so you know. Like, it's not always been that way. Again, different seasons, different dynamics. And that's what's working for us now. And I feel great about it. I feel like I'm so happy about the fact that I don't have to cook much, because I don't mind planning all the food out, but I don't really enjoy cooking. And so we're both operating in our strengths, and he likes to bless our family in that way. So very thankful for that. Okay, guys, you have homework. You need to go and follow this 5-step process to get your rhythms and routines set up, if you don't already have them, so that your habits that you want to implement can be supported. And you can have peace knowing that you are doing exactly what you should be doing in this season. So, was this helpful to you today? If it was, would you do me a huge favor and leave me a 5-star rating and review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts? And it also means the world to me when you guys shout me out on social media and tag me. Your feedback is so valuable and so encouraging to me. Thanks so much for hanging out with me this week, guys. See y'all next week.